I trust love came down at Christmas. Love came down at Christmas. Love came down at Christmas.
Can you do, hey, can you do this?
Good morning and welcome to Hope on the Beach Church, our last Sunday 8 o'clock beach service for 2024. So we've made it. Yay. My name is Cindy Kelly and it is my honor to be your host this morning. And we welcome all of you and we consider this a no judgment zone. So how you worship, if you want to stand, stay seated, raise your hand, sing, don't sing. We're thankful that you're here because you are a gift from God. You'll find in your worship folder a connection card. It's blue, and we ask that you do complete that and put it in the buckets when they come around at the end of the service. For those of you that are following online, we give you a special welcome also. And you can download the worship folder from our website. As I was coming across this morning, and I said, okay, surely to goodness we would not be on the beach. We would be under the tent. But praise God, and I see the sun coming up from the west over there, and it's going to be a beautiful day. Pastor Ray is going to be joining us in a few minutes to deliver the word, and it is going to be the gift of Emmanuel, God with us. For we know that God came down in the form of a little baby to save us, to redeem us. And I praise God for that. Our call to worship is, in Christ, the God of heaven has made his home on earth. Christ dwells among us. Rejoice. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for the change in the weather this morning so that we can be out here on the beach to worship you, to come together as a corporate body and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that you came down as a baby to redeem us. Emmanuel, God with us. Father, we ask that you will be pleased. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be here in our presence, to be with Pastor Ray, with all of the attendees, all the guests, everyone that's traveling, Lord, we pray for travel mercies there. And we just want to lift up your name on high, for you are worthy. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for loving us. Amen.
Amen, amen. You know, when we got here, it looked pretty ominous. God is so good all the time. Let's rise and worship our wonderful Lord. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart in room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature. Joy to the world, the Savior. Let all their songs employ while and flood, rock hills and plains. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Enjoy cup of joy is overflowing with. No tongue can tell the joy, unspeakable joy. It rises in my soul, never lets me go. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory of His righteousness, and the wonders of His love, and the wonders of His love, and the wonders and wonders of His. The joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. The joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go. The joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. The joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go. The joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. The joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, it never lets me go. Heavenly Father, thank you for this joy that you've given us. Nothing can take it away. We love you and we thank you. We are so grateful for your faithfulness and your love and your Son. Thank you for that sacrifice, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus. That's great timing right there. God knows what He's doing.
The angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Glory, in excelsis Deo, glory, in excelsis Deo. The shepherds widest you will be, why your joyous strains prolong. What the gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song. Glory, in excelsis Deo, glory. Bethlehem and see Christ whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Thank you.
Good morning. You may be seated. How many of you, when you drove up to the beach, you said, I won't need my sunglasses, I'll just leave those in the car? Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Merry Christmas. And I'm just curious, I've been saying Merry Christmas for the last 5 days. Today, I'm just curious that when I said Merry Christmas, did you kind of go, wow, he's kind of like 5 days behind? Or did you think this is the fifth day of Christmas? Five golden rings? You know, the world has kind of moved on, but we as Christians have a lot to celebrate. And so this morning I'd like to begin with a exercise on the perception. If you've got a pen, you should have gotten a pen. But if you got a pen, I want you to write in your bulletin. You've got the outline for today's message. So you can put it above the gifts of Christmas, the gift of Emmanuel, all in capital letters. I want you to write this out. Are you ready? These letters. Write these letters out. All in caps. No spaces. N, capital N, capital O, capital W, capital H, capital E, capital R, capital E. Let me repeat that. N-O-W-H-E-R-E. Are you there? No spaces? Now there's two words you see there. Now draw a line between the two words. Draw a line between the two words where you would put the space. So I'm just curious, if you drew a line between the O and the W, it says what? Nowhere. If you drew a line between the W and the H, it says now here. What is your perception? Is God nowhere to be found, or is he now here? It's all about perception. I've got good news for you. God is here. Are you aware of his presence? Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that your promises are true, that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. Help us this morning again to be aware of your presence, Emmanuel. In Jesus' name, amen. Not to tell on my neighbor, but on Christmas Day afternoon, his Christmas tree is already out by the curb. Because Christmas was over, and they're ready to move on to the new year. Is Christmas over, or is Christmas here? Is God a thing of the past, or is he here? You know, 2,000 years ago, we had an event on earth called the first Christmas. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, we call it, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. We know the story. The angels appeared to the shepherds who were abiding by their flocks at night, announcing the birth of the Savior. And the shepherds go to Bethlehem to see the child. And after seeing him, they glorify God for all they have seen and heard. Did that end it? Or was it just the beginning? Now that the celebration of Christmas is over, now what? Do we just go back to the normal life that we have before us, day in, day out, another dollar, another day, or something more? You know, Joseph and Mary were a very ordinary family, but they had an extraordinary experience. Wouldn't you say it was extraordinary? And was it over, or was it just beginning? What can we learn from the Christmas story that applies to you and me today? So I'd like to call your attention to Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. And it reads like this. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through this prophet, his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Our first fill in the blank is A. While the Gospel of Luke focuses on Mary and Matthew focuses on Joseph. You know, Matthew doesn't give us the heartwarming story that Luke does of angels singing and shepherds and a baby boy in a cattle stall. Instead, Matthew focuses in on Joseph and the struggle and the soul-wrenching struggle that Joseph was facing. The woman he was engaged to was pregnant. They have not moved in with each other, and Mary is pregnant, and this could only mean one thing. She was unfaithful. That's the only thing that Joseph could think of. I mean, he didn't fall off the potato truck yesterday. All right, so the only thing that could have happened is she was unfaithful. Therefore, the emotions that Joseph had were shock, anger, disappointment, betrayal. And he says, you know, I just need to distance myself from this woman. And Matthew calls Joseph righteous. Now, to be righteous, the Torah tells us that you follow the law strictly. And therefore, as a good law and abiding Jew, Joseph could have Mary stoned to death for the punishment of Deuteronomy chapter 21. But Matthew also tells us that he was compassionate. Instead of having Mary stoned, he decided to dismiss Mary as his fiancée. Hopefully, this would minimize the disgrace she would have to go through, and everything would be okay. Just call it quits. You go your way, I go my way. Let's all be happy. So in the depth of his fear and stress, it never occurred to Joseph there could be another way. Of grace, acceptance, forgiveness. And Joseph, all on his own, couldn't figure this out. God is not in this, is what Joseph decided in his head. How could God be present in such a difficult, heartbreaking situation? I'm not taking Mary as my wife. I'm afraid to. It can't be true what she tells me. And Matthew tells us that the darkness of sleep, God came to Joseph in a dream. Joseph. Son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. In other words, she is still a virgin. And she will have a son. You're to name him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Joseph, I'm not asking you to understand this. I'm asking you to have faith in God's word. I'm not asking you to figure out how could this be possible. You don't need to understand what's going on. You need to walk by faith, not by sight, Joseph. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves, or as we would say, a Savior. Saves us from our sins, saves us from ourselves. And this and seemingly impossible situation, what happens? Number one, because God changed Joseph, Joseph became a channel of God's grace in the world. God changed Joseph. Joseph couldn't change himself. It took God, an act of God, to change him. And the troubles of life, unexpected and unexplained, Joseph perceived it had to be something than what it was. Betrayal. And in that place, God brought truth, grace, forgiveness, and love, and Joseph became a channel of God's grace to Mary. What made such a drastic change in Joseph? Well, number two, Joseph finds God present with him. He's present. And when you're in the presence of God, it changes everything. Joseph realized that God was with him and Mary. Everything changed. And Joseph took God at his word. Joseph took God at his word. So I have a question. Do you take God at his word? He is with you even though you don't understand what you're going through or what the future may hold. He's there. Or do you live in fear? See, Joseph took God at his word, and God was able to change Joseph. Listen to what God says in his word, called Isaiah 41. God said to Isaiah, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." You know, when we go through times of trouble, we often think that God is absent, don't we? Where is God when that happened? God is always with us, Emmanuel. It's a matter of perception. Are we aware of his presence? If we are aware of his presence, it changes how we live through our circumstances. On July the 1st, 2006, the life of our family drastically changed. It's 18 years ago. Our 20-year-old daughter, Allison, was sitting at a red light in Fort Walton Beach, and she was struck by a drunk driver. She was life-flighted to Pensacola, and they did everything they could, but Allison didn't make it. As I stood by her lifeless body in the emergency room, the trauma room, I experienced an indescribable pain I'd never experienced before. I thought I was going to die. I could hardly breathe. No parent should have to bury their child, and maybe one of you have had to do that. I felt like part of me had died. And as I was standing there next to her body, it was like a light came on. It was the Holy Spirit. I suddenly remembered I was not alone. And when you're hurting, you want to be with someone, don't you? Well, someone came in that room, and it was God. I remember God was in that room. Emmanuel. He was with us in that room. Surely the presence of the Lord was in that place, and I remembered that God was there, and I remembered that my daughter Allison was God's child. God was aware of what happened. He was there when she was killed, and he took her through the valley of the shadow of death. God was in the hospital with us. And I don't mean to sound trite, but at that moment I said to myself, "Are you ready? Thank God you're here." That's what I said. Thank God you're here. And he was. So I laid my hands on the Holy Spirit moved me to lay hands on my daughter's body and to say a prayer with our family. And for being with Allison and taking her safely home, and I know that you'll take care of her until we see her again. Lord, thank you. Thank you for her safe arrival in heaven. Even though I didn't understand the why, what I did understand is that God was with Allison and Allison was with God, Emmanuel. And like Joseph on my own, there's no way I could have come to that conclusion. And it was the Holy Spirit who reminded me of God's glorious presence in my grief, that he is not a remote or distant God. He is with us. And the reality of God's constant presence has sustained me throughout these years. There's a scripture that says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Be still and know that I'm God. God is here. And every Christmas, we hang up her stocking, and we are reminded that Allison isn't, even though Allison isn't with us, she's with him, Emmanuel. So B, the message of the Bible is not about the desire of man to be with God. It's about the desire of God to be with man. Let me say that again. The message of the Bible is not about the desire of man to be with God, because we'd rather be on our own. It's about the desire of God to be with man. You see, when God created Adam and Eve, he was in their presence the whole time, always in their presence. And when Adam and Eve were tempted by the snake in the garden, guess who was there? God. He was there. So what happened? Well, what happened is they get distracted and deceived by Satan. I think I'd be distracted by a talking snake too, wouldn't you? So they got distracted and deceived by Satan, and their perception of God was as if he wasn't there. Even though he was there, their perception was, well, God's not here. And how often do we think that way? The problem wasn't with God, it was with man. And the same is true for us. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Don't allow us or permit us to be tempted to sin. And you know as well as I know, we still sin. Even though we're saved, we're still in this body of death and we still sin. We fall short of the glory of God. And that's why we need a Savior. You're to name him Jesus, the angel said. He'll save his people from their sins. And as the angel told the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Never forget, the birth of Jesus is about a Savior, not about a baby, but about a Savior. Where sin has separated us from God, Jesus restores our relationship with God. That's how much God loves us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That brings me to C, and I can't say this enough. Our God is not a remote or distant God, but a God who is Emmanuel with us. He's with us. Not just on Sunday mornings in this place. You know, I grew up Lutheran, and the Lutherans, they fill up the church from the back to the front. Have you ever noticed that? I don't know what church you go to, but I grew up Lutheran, and they fill up the church from the back to the front. That's because God is up there. We don't want to get too close to God. But God is with us, even in the back of the church. Our God the Father's heart is that he wants to be with you, Emmanuel, not just on Sunday mornings, but he wants to be with you from the moment that you wake up until you lay your head down to rest and you pray, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. So God watch over me while I sleep. He wants you to be with him. Our Heavenly Father wants to spend the rest of your life while you're here on earth and eternity with you. I have a story to tell you. Maybe you went through this. Anybody have college-age kids that you've gotten through? Well, my daughter, Ashley, when she graduated from high school, she was just 17. She didn't turn 18 till August. And the college she went to is Concordia College in Chicago. Now, she grew up in Fort Walton Beach, and now she's going to go to her freshman year. She just turned 18. She's going to go to Chicago, and so she got accepted to the college, and my wife and I, Debbie, loaded up a van. We rented a van and loaded up for all the stuff you can't live without. You know what that is? Everything in my room. So we loaded up the van, and we went to Chicago for her freshman year. I remember it like yesterday. We helped put her room together, and then you have to shop for those last-minute things you didn't bring. And then at the end of the day, it came time for her to go to freshman orientation. Time to say goodbye. We've got her room set up. She's going to freshman orientation. Going to give us a hug and a kiss. I'll see you at Christmas. Seems like everything is cool, right? Well, as I was driving away, I thought to myself, you know, she grew up in Little Fort Walton Beach. Now she's going to be living close to Big Bad Leroy Brown, you know, on the south side of Chicago. How could I leave my kid? I've never had to say goodbye to her in a place like this. What kind of father are you to drop off your kid in Chicago and think she's going to be okay? You just threw her to the lions. I got about a block away, and I said, what have I done? I pulled over. Debbie had to drive. I couldn't drive anymore. I was crying. How could I leave my daughter in this mess? I wanted to be with her. This is a father's heart. God the Father infinitely more wants to be with you. He wants you to acknowledge his presence this morning, right where you're sitting. He has a heart for you. He doesn't want to be away from you. D, Emmanuel, God with us, is the heart of the Christmas message. It is the center of what took place 2,000 years ago. It makes every day a Christmas. You may be tired of Christmas songs. I think I could sing a Christmas hymn every day of my life. I've got a cousin who left her Christmas tree up 12 months out of the year because she wanted to celebrate Christmas every day. This is God's desire, Emmanuel, to be with us, not separated from us. You know, when God created Adam and Eve and was with them in the Garden of Eden, he wanted to be with them. And then one day, Adam and Eve hid from him because they had sinned. They disobeyed God. And God had to call out to them. He knew where they were. Did they know where they were? You've heard the old saying that if you feel far away from God, guess who moved? You did. Philip Yancey, in the book that he wrote called Prayer, says this: when I'm tempted to complain about God's lack of presence, I remind myself that God has much more reason to complain about my lack of presence. Now, we're the ones that hide from God by ignoring that he's here. So how do we experience the presence of God? Where do we start? Well, I got a scripture for you from James 4:8. It says this: draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What he's saying is this: if Jesus were walking down the beach coming this way, and you knew it, no, excuse me, if Jesus is walking on the water coming this way, and you looked and went, wow, that's Jesus. That's cool. First thing you would say is, you know, worship him. Adoration. And then as Jesus approached the shore and he got up here, and he'd look at you and you go, wow, confession. I'm a sinner in the presence of a holy God. And then he would forgive you and you would thank him. And then he would ask, what can I do for you? That's called adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. James says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. Repent, you double-minded. You know, God is always there. We find him in prayer. We speak to him, he speaks to us through his word. And there's another thing that says this: God inhabits the praise of his people. God inhabits the praise of his people. It's like a child who speaks to her biological father or her father and says, Daddy, Daddy, I love you, Daddy. And that just moves you as a father. And when you speak your heavenly father and calling Abba Father, which means Daddy, he wants to be there. He's there with you. He also said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. And that's not a math equation. Well, I'm one person. I guess God is not here. What that means is this: where two or three are gathered, we can share in the relationship that God has for us. We're to witness to each other. We're to experience the presence of God. It's called fellowship. Prayer, Bible study, fellowship. And when we witness, God uses us as his voice to tell other people about his son Jesus and how much he loves them. When we acknowledge his holy presence, we see the sinners that we are and we repent, we receive forgiveness. And that brings me to E, because God is with us, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. What is your top concern for the new year? We're getting there close. Next Wednesday will be January the 1st. What is your top concern for the new year? I read an article just this morning and it said some people are afraid of being attacked by drones. Okay, maybe that's your deal. For some, they're afraid to be attacked by a drone, but some people are afraid of an EMP explosion that will paralyze our country. Some people are about war with China, Russia, North Korea, Iran. Or maybe the economy is going to crash. How many of you watch the stock market? As the nation's debt increases, you're worried about what's going to happen in the economy, your retirement, your future. Is there another pandemic coming around the corner where we're all going to be wearing masks and talking like this? We don't know. How many of you have an annual physical coming up? And you're worried. Maybe you have concerns about a relationship, maybe in your family. What are you afraid may happen in 2025? You know, God has always been and always will be with you. And where God is there, there's no fear. When the going gets tough, remember what he told us in his word. I typed these out for you. Here's the promise to Joshua from Joshua 1:9. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And to King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, he says, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed. The Lord will be with you. When King Hezekiah was facing hordes of Assyrians, he is told not to be afraid because the Lord is with him to help us to fight our battles. And I'll throw another one in there. When David went to fight Goliath, he told King Saul, the Lord who rescued me from the lion and the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. When God is with me, I can face anything. That brings me to E. Because God is with us, we don't have to be afraid of death. To know that God is with you is the greatest blessing that there is. When David sat down one day, he wrote Psalms 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. I have nothing to fear. David knew he could face anything, even death. And the same is true for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I have to choose between the two, I'd rather die and be in heaven. But it's more necessary for me to remain with, than be with you. God is with us. And that brings me to F. God is with us is one of the mind-blowing truths of Christmas. God is with us. A truth that dispels our fears, and it brings comfort to the grieving heart. It brings peace to our anxious souls. And with the arrival of God's Son at Christmas, we can celebrate Emmanuel. This year, we don't know what this year will bring. Your friends may forsake you. Loved ones may die. Disasters may happen. Wars may break out. The economy may go into a depression. But because God is with us all through this valley of the shadow of death and for eternity, it's going to be a good year. It's got to be a good year. Anytime you're with God is a good year. Matthew writes, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. He shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And when Joseph realized that God was with him, it changes everything. So how close is God to you? Well, every hair on your head is numbered. God is with us every day, and he wants to speak to us, speak to our needs. So it's a matter of perception. Is God nowhere to be found, or is God here now? That brings me to our memory verse. Jesus said this, say this with me, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We're going to close in a minute moment with a song, and it's really a prayer song. So, it goes like this. You have the words to it in your bulletin. I want you to pray this with me, okay? O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, oh Lord, Emmanuel. All God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ray. I don't think there's been a time that I've come to this beach to hear the word of God that I'm not walk away and I'm changed. And I thank God that I walk away changed. I hope each and every one of you experience that. We're never alone. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn in your folders and recognize that there are some things that are happening at Hope on the Beach. And We have the Men of Iron breakfast, January 4th. And then we also have a packing, duffel bag packing party, which is part of the Women of Hope, and that's going to be January 13th. And that is to give those individual, those little boys and girls that are part of foster care, to be able to have something to put their belongings in when they go to different homes. We also have Starting Point. If you want to find out more about what's happening at Hope on the Beach and how God is working at Hope on the Beach Church, it begins on Tuesday, January 14th at 6 p.m. Again, if you would, when we come around with the blue buckets, if you would drop the connection card in. And this is also a time where we take up our offerings. It's an expression of our continued worship as we have been worshiping Him in message of the truths of God from the Holy Word. And we've been messaging, and we've been praising Him through song and through prayer. Our gifts, our tithes, our offerings are part of a worship to the Holy God that came to us, that came to us and met us at our lost, and where we were lost and needed a Savior. Praise God, Emmanuel, God with us. Let us continue in worship.
Let's rise. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. How silently, how silent. Go ahead.
The angels keep their watch of wandering love.
Get it.
Oh, morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. Here comes the prayer. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, oh Lord Emmanuel.
Receive this blessing as you go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May He look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. See you next week.
Amen.
God bless.
Thank you.